Welcome to Silence the Mind Cluck. I'm your host, Maria T. Finch, and I'm super glad that you're here. Get ready to quiet that mind and reap the rewards. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Silence the Mind Cluck podcast. I'm super excited today to have Raj Supermeyer with me. Welcome, Raj.
Hey, I'm super excited to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's my pleasure. So please introduce yourself to our audience.
So I'm a tech career and leadership coach. So I help people specifically in the tech space to advance in their careers and become effective leaders. I've been doing this for over 4 years now. I've helped 50 plus mid to senior level folks get unstuck in their careers and have positive personal life and career transformations. Apart from that, I love sharing my knowledge with people. So I do a lot of speaking at different conferences, and companies hire me for their private events, for their kickoff meetings. I've done 2 TED Talks as well. And then I do a lot of writing for Entrepreneur and a CIO World magazine, and a lot of different publications. And I also wrote my book, which is called Skyrocket a Career. So that's pretty much in a nutshell of what I do. But mainly my passion is helping people, especially the underdogs, get unstuck in their careers and start believing in themselves so that they can take their next step towards their dream job or their dream vision they've already have in their minds. So,
okay, wow, that's you do a lot. That's really impressive. So to start with, tell us a bit about your own journey to get to where you are now. What inspired you and where did you begin?
Yeah, I think that'd be a great start to set some context for your audience. So from a thick Texas accent, you already probably know I was not born in the United States, right? Uh-huh. So I grew up in the southern part of India in a place called Chennai. And again, for those of you who do not know what Chennai is, basically in India, there are 5 big cities which generates revenue for India. You have Bangalore, Kolkata, Mumbai, Delhi, and Chennai. Okay. So I come from Chennai, which is in the southern part of India. Mm-hmm. And I grew up the youngest of 2 kids. I have an older brother. He was the super smart kid. In fact, he has 3 masters and a PhD. Then I had my dad. His entire life, he studied in scholarships. And there I was, the average kid who didn't do well in anything. You name it, sports, dating, academics, everything, right?
Okay.
And for those of you in the Asian community, especially your audience, they can relate to this. Because when you're born, you're given 3 choices, okay? You can either become a doctor, a lawyer, or engineer. And I've been in tech for 17 plus years, true story. But the point is, academics is pushed quite a bit. And growing up, I found it really hard because I was surrounded by all these overachievers and I couldn't live up to their expectations. And every time I tried to do that, I ended up getting disappointed because all the expectations around me were pretty unrealistic and it was not me. So this constant struggling to be like other people made me feel like an outcast. I got into a shell. I was a shy, introverted kid. And I was a nervous wreck. It's funny, I remember this vividly. I had this crush on this 80-year-old. When I was in my 8th grade, I had this crush on this girl. And then it took me like 2 months just to say hi to her. So I was that type of nervous wreck. Low on self-confidence, low self-esteem. That was pretty much my life till I was 19, my entire childhood. And I thought that was my life. But then a trigger event happened, which we can always talk about. But then that was a defining moment where I realized that, you know, all this while I was living a life for other people. I was letting other people's opinions be my reality. I was putting my identity based on other people's opinions, pinning my identity based on other people's opinions. Uh-huh. That's when I realized, you know what? Screw people, screw society. I know I have my own skill sets. I just have to discover it and I'm gonna take control of my life. And that's when the real transformation happened at the age of 19. And since then till now, for the past 20 years, it's been all about pushing myself slowly out of my comfort zone, conquering my fears one by one. And it's still a journey. It's been a journey, but that's kind of the whole pivotal moment at the age of 19, which helped me transform my life from a shy introverted kid earning a minimum salary into international keynote speaker, author, and tech career coach running a six-figure business, right? No one expected this transformation would happen, including me, but then it was just slow, gradual, step-by-step progression to push myself out of my comfort zone and then overcome my fears. So that's pretty much the whole background story of
Okay.
where I was and who I've become in the past 30, 35 years. So.
Wow. Okay. So tell us about what are you comfortable telling us about the pivotal event that made you sort of wake up and say, "Hey, you know what? I don't want to follow, I'm on this path of following other people's opinions and I realize like that's not the right path for me." Will you tell us about what triggered your transformation there or the start of it?
Yeah, definitely. So I still remember this moment vividly because I was in my study room in India, and then all of a sudden my chest, it started hurting.
Oh no. Wow.
And the pain was increasing minute by minute. I could suddenly start feeling like tears clogging my eyes, and it started rolling down my cheeks, right? And I didn't know what was happening. And then I sat down and I thought I was getting a heart attack. But now I know it was my first panic attack because all the feelings which had bottled up inside me for the past 19 years, just ballooned up and then burst out. And for 2 hours, I sat there just crying and sobbing because all the feelings were coming out, right? Because as I was saying, I came to that realization that I was living a life in false identity, but I didn't try to figure out what my real identity was, right? Because I was listening to other people. Other people said, "This is good for you. This is bad for you. No, you don't matter. You're not good enough." But then I said, "You know what? I'm not gonna listen to other people," because I think everyone has this low point in their life, okay? Whether they admit it or not. And they're given two choices. One choice is recognize it, feel it, go through those emotions, and then figure out, okay, how can I change it? What are the small things I could do to change the situation I am in? Or the second option is recognize it, feel the pain, and then continue living that same life. So luckily, I chose the first option because I was just tired of living that life. I didn't like that person I was at that point of time. And I had all, so this is what I literally did, and this is not exaggeration. So I literally took a paper and pen and I wrote down all my fears. I had fear of being rejected, fear of being ignored, fear of public speaking, fear of failure. I wrote all these fears. And on side of each fear, I just, at that point of time, whatever I thought were the steps to overcome those fears, I just wrote it down. And my last 20, 25 years has been about overcoming those fears one by one. And for each of those fears, I have all these interesting stories, and some people call it crazy stories. But the point is, it's been all about overcoming those fears. And people ask me, how did you make this transformation? Because I give talks, people say that, man, you're funny or engaging. How can I become like you? I tell them, yeah, it takes about 20 years. And it's about the small steps which you could take,
Okay.
push yourself out of your comfort zone.
So give us some of these small steps, because what we're our goal for our listeners is to be offering them tidbits, things that they can try if they're in a position maybe similar to how you felt. So give us an example. What would be a fear that you worked on, and what were the small steps you took?
Sure. So let's take my fear of public speaking, because a lot of people have that fear, and probably your audience could relate to it more. So, till 2011, probably every 2 days, I used to keep thinking about my fear of speaking to people. Like, if there are more than two people, then I'll start getting nervous. And
Okay.
then I used to stutter sometimes, and then I was, I just froze when the audience actually increased, right? And that fear continued throughout my life till 2011. I was at work. Go ahead. Yes,
Oh, I
yes.
was just going to ask you. So, do you mean like if you were in a meeting or if you like
Exactly. I was in
at
a
lunch
meeting.
or?
I was in a group setting. Words never came out of my mouth. And then
Okay.
I used to get nervous. I used to sweat. So I was that type of person till 2011. But
Okay.
then this is what happened. So I was at work, and then I see this email which said, "Come to the software conference happening in Seattle. There's going to be awesome speakers, and then come learn and then become the best version of yourself," right? I always get these emails, and immediately I usually delete them. But that day, when I was looking at this email in 2011, it was as if this email was speaking to me. Because here I was on a journey of overcoming my fears, but I've been putting out my fear of public speaking for a while. And then I had this light bulb moment where I decided, you know what? I really need to, it's time. I really need to, overcome this fear of public speaking. So I said, you know what? I'm going to go to this conference. Maybe that's my first step. And where I can meet people, network with other speakers, figure out how they give talks. So I
Okay.
swiped $3,000 of my own money when I didn't have that much money, because I came as an immigrant to the United States and I didn't have
Right.
that much money. But I said, you know what? I'm going to invest in myself and then swipe $3,000 of my own credit card, because then with the registration fee, travel cost, it came to about $3,500. So I
Yeah.
go to this conference and start attending these sessions given by speakers. There were some good sessions and there were also some bad sessions. And luckily, I went to these sessions where they had not so great speakers, because that's when I had this moment of awakening, saying, you know what? What better way than getting rid of your public speaking than actually becoming a speaker? Because these bad speakers actually gave me the confidence that, you know what, anyone can speak and I should definitely do this. So the next thing I did was I started networking with all the speakers and then started taking notes on how they write proposals, how they come up with talk ideas, how they prepare for talks, how do they deliver talks. I took all these notes, and the difference between people when they go to conferences, like people like me and other people, is they get super motivated, but then they come back home and don't do anything, right? But luckily, I wanted to act on it because I collected all these notes about how people prep for conferences, right? And to cut a long story short, in 2012, I started speaking in small meetup groups, because that helped me push myself out of my comfort zone a little bit, because it's just much smaller crowd. Then in 2013, after 7 months and 23 trial runs of my first conference talk, I gave my first actual talk at a software testing conference, and it was a huge hit. And then fast forwarding to 2022, I've spoken at 100 plus conferences. I've given two TED Talks. I've given at least 20 keynotes, right? So the moral of the story here is I chose to take that first step of swiping the credit card for $3,000. I'm not saying everyone should swipe the credit card for $3,000, but it's about the small step which you could take to push yourself out of your comfort zone. And then I started speaking at meetup groups. Again, that was a small step where you could speak at small groups and then start practicing. And then you get into a larger audience in 2013. And then you start giving keynotes. And then you start giving TED Talks. So that's how, that's a simple example of starting small and then working on it.
So I'd like to go even back a little deeper. So this podcast is about mind cluck. We all know what that means. So what were the messages that your mind was giving you that you needed to overcome to make the decision to actually invest in yourself by going to that conference? What did you have to, how did you quiet your mind enough to be able to say, okay, I'm going to make this decision, I'm going to take this step?
Yeah, it's a great question. So immediately, my mind started thinking about, you don't belong here. You're not supposed to be a speaker. Because everyone has told you that you're a shy, introverted kid. You cannot overcome your fear of public speaking. So all of this negative self-talk automatically came
Sure.
into my mind. Because it's a human tendency, to immediately go to the negative part
Right.
instead of, reframing it into a positive way of thinking. But anyways, coming back to the experience. So immediately I had all these negative self doubts and self talks within my head saying I don't matter, I'm not good enough. But then I realized how far I've come in terms of overcoming other fears, right? And I knew I had that capacity. I knew I had the resilience to actually do things. That's when I started reframing my mindset. Okay, what's the worst that could happen? Okay, I go to the conference. And then, anyways, at the conference, it's in Seattle. No one knows me there. So I don't have the fear of being judged. And then, worst thing that could happen is, yes, I didn't like it. And then I come back. Right. So start doing the worst case scenario. Okay, what's the worst that could happen? Right. And when you start thinking about that, then things are not as bad as it seems. And then you say, what are the good things which could happen from it? The good thing which could happen from it is you could build a network connections, and then you could maybe meet some interesting people. Maybe you could meet someone who's going through the same journey as you. So what I would do is always write down the, there are multiple ways to do this, right? So now I always do a pros and cons list, okay? I just take a paper and pen, put a vertical line through the middle of the paper, and then make a pros and cons list. What are the pros of going to a conference? What are the cons of not going to a conference? And do this for any decision you want to make, critical decision you want to make in life. Okay. Then think about the worst case scenario. Okay. What's the worst thing which could happen? And what's the best thing which could happen? And when you actually put that into perspective, then things do not, see, they do not feel as bad as it actually seems to be. Right. So something which I actually did. And then that's what really helped me take my first step. And I always do this. I do a pros and cons list and think about the worst case scenario, think about the best case scenario, and that helps me to make a judgment about whether I need to take that next step.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense to me. So going back, so for somebody who's not yet at the stage where they could say, okay, I'd like to invest in myself and go to a conference. Let's go back further in time and say, when you were first starting to shift how you were thinking about yourself, what steps did you take then?
Yeah, so this is what now I branded as the mind dump exercise. Okay, this is what I actually did, but now I brand it as a mind dump exercise because it's much more understandable. I can take a paper and pen, okay, and put a vertical line through the middle of the paper. Okay, on the left column, write down all the things you love to do, you want to do, you want to continue doing. Okay. On the right column, you write down all the things you hate to do, you don't want to do anymore, and you want to stop doing. Do this in an uninterrupted manner for at least for an hour. No Facebooking, like Facebook messaging, no text messaging. Put everything in do not disturb. Lock yourself in the room and do this exercise for an hour. Because this is the thing, folks. All the things you want to do in life is already in your brain. You just have to unravel it one by one and make it visual. Human beings are visual people, okay? And when you do this exercise, you're going to figure out a lot of things you want to do in life and a lot of strengths which you already have. So, for example, say you do this exercise, and then in the column of things you want to do, say, and things you're good at, say you've noted down things like, for example, you're a good listener, you're a great communicator, you can convince people. And you have a strong vocabulary, whatever that may be, then you can start seeing patterns based on these strengths. So maybe getting to sales or marketing could be a really good avenue based on these strengths. So this is just a random example, but the point is, based on strengths, you can start putting them into different buckets of what you potentially want to do with your life from a career standpoint, okay? And then the same thing with the negative things. if you don't like micromanagement, if you want more freedom to do things, then maybe, you know, joining a like a mid-tier or startup company would be more applicable to you than a large company, because large companies tend to have stringent processes and there's a lot of micromanagement, right? These are all just, you know, random examples, but just by doing the mind dump exercise, you can figure out what you're good at. You can figure out different career options. You can figure out, okay, what's your next move? And then based on that, my advice would be is to figure out, say, 6 to 7 things you could do based on the strengths. And then pick the top 3 things you want to do in life, okay? And focus on those top 3 things. So, for example, the top things could you may have figured out could be going with the same use case, could be you want to become a sales consultant, a marketing consultant. Then maybe you could become a project manager. I'm just giving random examples here.
Sure.
Okay, so now you've identified the top 3 career paths you could take. What I would do is the next phase is experimentation. So pick one, then experiment with different things related to that career option for a couple of months and analyze the results. So say, for example, you want to become take the project manager example. Write down all the things you think you could do from a project management standpoint. You can get a certification. You could take a course. You could do an internship. You can get a job. Hire a coach to help you in project management. So just whatever comes in your mind, and then come up with the timeline. Okay, for 2 months, the first week I'm going to do this. The second week I'm going to do this. The third week I'm going to do this. And then for two months, do this, and then do a retrospection saying whether it's giving you joy, whether it's giving you impact. Is this what you want to do? If not, then go to the second option. Then go to the third option, because life is all about experimentation.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Figure out stuff, okay? And there's going to be a lot of sift out. There's going to be a lot of imposter syndrome that you're not the right person to do that. But this is the thing. When you start anything new, you are going to have imposter syndrome, which is good, because that means you have fear. And fear helps to drive you. If you don't have fear, then you'll just be sitting in one place and not doing anything, because you need fear to actually motivate you to do things. And as part of that, you start getting imposter syndrome. You start getting negative thoughts. You start having limiting beliefs. But those are all part of the journey, right? Embrace it. Analyze it. See whether it's your cup of tea. If not, then pivot, right?
So going back to that, so if you're sitting there and you're listening to this and you're thinking, you know what, I can't even think about what I want to do in my career because the mind clock in my head is so loud, just telling me like you're never going to amount to anything. So what would you suggest for just initially quieting that mind so that you have enough, chutzpah to actually make your list of here's what I love to do? I mean, I love the idea of a list of here's what I love to do, here's what I don't love to do, because I think that can be a way to start to build yourself up. But for the mindset where your mind is telling you, well, you might like to do that, but you're never going to be good enough. Mm-hmm. Did you have a way to quiet that?
Yes. So, of course, again, a common theme you're going to hear from me is writing down whatever thoughts you have.
That's a good way to do it.
It's just like journaling, right? Yeah. Morning pages, what you can call it, whatever you want. But the point is, take a paper and pen and write down all the things you're thinking. It could be you're not good enough, you don't matter. And then once you write down all those thoughts, then think about, okay, why do you think you're not good enough? Yeah. Why do you think that way, right? Just spend some time thinking about it. And just thinking about those things can start helping you get clarity. That is number one. Yeah. Number two is just taking 3 deep breaths, closing your eyes, maybe doing meditation, you know, could really, really help. So I use an app called Headspace. And we have millions of other apps. But of course, at the age of 19, I didn't have Headspace. But the point is, you could just close your eyes, take 5 to 10 deep breaths to calm yourself and center yourself. Mm-hmm. Just that breathing would really help you to calm down and then think with clarity, right? Because there's this thing called the red zone and the blue zone. Red zone is when you're anxious, stressed, and you're trying to make decisions, okay? And there's a coaching term actually. So when you coach people, they're either in the red zone or in the blue zone. And then in the blue zone is when you get clarity, you are much more stable, you're much more grounded, and then you can make more informed decisions. So your job is to get yourself from the blue zone state to the red zone. I mean, sorry, the vice versa, the red zone state to the blue zone state. And the way to do that is, yeah, writing down your thoughts, retrospecting those, going through those thoughts, and then closing your eyes and then doing meditation. Now you can use the Headspace app or the Calm app or the millions of other apps. Third thing is have an accountability partner, talk to someone about your feelings, right? It could be your significant other, it could be your trusted friend, it could be a therapist. I have everyone, all of those three. So the point is, those things would really help because you need an objective view of things, okay? So you talk to someone who has already gone through the journey because they can relate to it, or talk to a therapist, who will give an objective view of things because they're not related to you. So they're going to call a spade. They're not going to sugarcoat things for you. So those would probably be some initial steps you could actually take to get some clarity. And then you're going to have multiple things you want to do in life. Just pick one. Start small. Start simple. That's all it's all about. But then you have to do it consistently. That is another problem, right? Because we live in this world where no one believes in the power of delayed gratification. So what do I mean by that? In this digital age, we see all these Instagram influencers with their pictures of their Ferraris or beach houses, enjoying a cup of coffee by a scenic view and stuff. And then we want to become like them. But we don't know the real story. Either they are $200,000 in debt, or it took them 25 years to get to that level, right? People want to go to the gym and immediately within a week, they want a six pack ab and want to lose 50 pounds. No, it doesn't work that way. It's about these small wins through the journey, which is going to get you to that destination. And it's the journey which is going to make you stronger. It's the journey which is going to teach you things. And that's so true. So for example, it took me like 15 years for this whole speaking thing to happen for me. Then I gave two TED Talks, right? That was the mecca of everything. And then once I did that, it happens in like 10, 15 minutes. That's it, right? And then the moment is over. But then for the 15 years, the things I learned, that's what helps me talk like this and give TV interviews and stuff. So it's the journey that matters, not the destination. And you really need to believe in the power of delayed gratification. So in summary, so coming back to your question, if you want to take that first small step and start simple, write down your thoughts, go over those thoughts and figure out whether it's valid and why you're feeling that way. Do meditation, get an accountability partner, right? And then believe in the power of delayed gratification. I think those are the four things you really want to do to take that first step into anything you want to do in life.
Okay, I think that gives us a perfect wrap-up place. I like that summary very much. Raj, is there anything that you would like to offer to our audience?
Yeah, so there are a couple of things. First thing is if you go to skyrocketyourcareerbook.com, you can download the first chapter of my book for free. And you can decide whether you like it or not, because I know that feeling where a person like me, talks great things about their book and then you buy it and then it's really shitty. So in my case, you can decide whether you like the book or not. And then in the same website, you can buy a lot of merchandise like the one I'm wearing right now. And 100% of the profits go to charities and refugees and stuff like that. So I would love if you folks support that as well. I have a special code called podcast. If you put that during your shopping, then you're going to get 50% discount as well. But that's one thing. And then if you want to connect with me, talk to me about stuff, my main website is rajsubra.com, RAJSUBRA.com. You'll find all my life's work there, what I do, how I help people, all my publications, etc. And finally, I live on LinkedIn 24/7. So literally find me by my last name because I'm the only person in the world with that last name. You are going to actually find me and then just connect with me, follow me, because every single day I post videos and content to motivate people, inspire people, and then talk about various topics. So those are different things you probably want to know about me. And yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, Raj, thanks so much for being on the podcast today. And to our audience, thanks for listening. Hope you'll tune in next week. Everyone, have a great week. Thanks for listening. If you found this content helpful, please like, comment, and share across your social media. Are you sick of Mind Clock clocking up your days? Book a free initial consult with me at mindclock.com and let's silence it. Thanks and have a great week.